Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're joined now by a former quarterback in the NFL, played a little less than a decade, member from college as well, big-time player at Iowa State, and he's been with us before, although it's been a little while. Sage Rosenfels is back with us here on Tiki and Tierney Talk, some quarterback shop. Sage, how you doing? What's been going on, man?
I'm doing great, guys. You know, that song, I came out, I believe it was my rookie year, because I remember Bruce Smith over down in Washington sort of singing that song and talking about Mary J. Blige in the locker room. So one of those random memories from my past a long time ago, 19 years ago.
Yeah,
wow, no, that's flying.
That is funny, man. Who did you say? Dexter Manley?
No, Bruce Smith.
Oh, Bruce Smith.
Bruce Smith.
Man, I can't imagine Bruce Smith.
My first ever meeting in Washington, you know, Marty Schottenheimer's the head coach, 2001, the only season he was there. And I'm a rookie, so I'm going to sit in the back of that mean room, you know, just sort of sneak in there and not be up front. And I'm sitting in Bruce Smith's chair. He comes walking in, like last guy walking to me, and he goes, "Hey, you're sitting in my chair." And I was like, you know, that was sort of my welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, right. I'm going to get up right now and try not to get in your way anymore. Sage, we know what's going on in the NFL with DeSean Jackson and his comments on the Jewish religion, or putting out a post that was purported to be from Hitler. It wasn't, but, you know, your take on this, because it seems like there was a lot of outrage when the Black Lives Matter movement started permeating. But the Jewish outrage wasn't as loud. And I know there's not a ton of Jewish players in the league. I know I played with one with Rosenthal.
Mike Rosenthal.
Yeah, Mike Rosenthal.
Who went to Notre Dame, by the way.
That's right. He went to Notre Dame. Catholic institution. And
a little bit of everything.
There's been a handful of Jewish players. Is that why you think that there's not so much noise around what DeSean Jackson said, even though he is getting criticized?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously my last name, Rosenfels, is Jewish. My dad is Jewish, and I happen to be in the National Jewish Sports Hall of Fame, basically just solely off of the fact that, you know, half of my bloodline is Jewish and my background. So it's always sort of been a part of me, part of my ancestry. It's not really my faith, but definitely a part of my ancestry. So it's always been something that I've cared about and is important to me. And, you know, I think the thing about with what a lot of people, how they view Judaism and Jewish people, is it's such a small part of the population. You know, the vast majority of Americans are white. The vast majority of Americans are Christian. And, you know, and Jews are a very, very small part of the population. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about all types of people. But I think in particular, you know, Jewish people, and that's no different around the NFL. I you know, would regularly get questions asked to me in NFL locker rooms about it, and I didn't know a lot about it, but I would get questions and people would be, you know, sort of confused as to, you know, what that meant, and, you know, do they read the Bible, do they not read the Bible, you know, just sort of understand the history of it all. And at the end of the day, I think it just comes down to ignorance with DeSean Jackson, and that's the problem, is that just so if people have views of other races, people have views of other religions, people from other countries, but they know so little about it. And I've really learned in my life, and I grew up in a tiny town. I grew up in the country outside of a town of 300 people in Iowa.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I went to Iowa State, you know, went on the National Football League, you know, DC, the Miami, Houston, Minnesota, the New York Giants. I mean, major cities in this country, and coming from that background and coming from this, you know, half Jewish family too. And everybody lives in their own bubble, whether you like it or not. I live in the suburbs of Omaha, Nebraska. It is a bubble here. You live in New York City, it's a bubble there. You live in the country in the middle of nowhere, that's its own bubble. And I think people really have a hard time stepping outside of that bubble unless, you know, like a lot of athletes are, we are exposed to people from all over the place because, you know, an NFL locker room, as Tiki, as you know, man, there's people from every corner of this country, big city, small town, country, inner city.
Grew up rich, suburbs. Grew up poor, some in gangs. I mean, it's nuts, like the collection of people.
It is, but all that really matters is, you know, do you work hard? Are you a good guy? Do you do your job? Are you dependable? You know, how do you perform? And that's what really matters. And so, you know, a football team in the locker room, I think, is a great place to really learn from all these people that are from all over the place and grew up in their own different bubbles. You know, when I was in Houston, my left tackle was Ephraim Salam. You know, he's Muslim.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, that's a new experience. And a lot of people have negative views about Muslims. But I tell you what, Ephraim, one of the smartest, hardest working, most likable guys I ever played with. And his faith is just different than mine. Mm. So I think that we all can learn a lot by being a little bit more open-minded, but also learning. And I sort of made a point a few weeks ago on Twitter that, you know, I was raised in that small town and I went to Iowa State. I never had a black teacher.
Wow.
Never had a black teacher in my life. And how has that affected me? You know, I don't necessarily know how that's affected me, but it's my job to, if I want to have an opinion about black people or opinion about Muslim people or opinion about Jewish people, man, I better do some of my own research and learn about the people that are different than me that are living outside of the bubble that I personally live in.
That's a great take. Yeah. Really, really thorough. Very well done. We're talking to Sage Rosenfels, former quarterback in the NFL, former Cyclone, 11 seasons playing in the Shield, and he's very good analyzing young quarterbacks, all quarterbacks. But I want to ask you this as we transition to some on-field stuff here, Sage. Now, I remember saying a while ago, like, I think the person who could most adversely be affected by either an interruption to the NFL season or, God forbid, in the sporting sense, no football season is Tom Brady. Like, at that age, how many starts and stops do you think he could put his body through without losing a little something? You know what I'm getting at? Like, at some point, to just fire the machine back up when you're dormant for a while, that's got to be tough.
Well, you know, I think we all know Tom's working out, and I think Tom's working out with his teammates, whether the NFLPA likes or not. I mean, he's getting together. He's throwing. I think he's keeping that rust off. I'm actually way more concerned about these young guys, in particular these rookies. I mean, there's you know, something about, you know, Tua and Burrow and Herbert. You know, they're having meetings with their quarterbacks coaches. They're having meetings with their offensive coordinators. They're learning the mental aspect of a very complicated sport. You know, football is a very complicated sport, but they're not getting any of that physical work. And it's really hard sometimes to make that transition from on the field or in the classroom to on the field. And they're just not getting all those OTAs and quarterbacks camps and rookie mini camps and those things. And probably not going to get much of a preseason, if at all, this year. So I would much rather be in Tom Brady's shoes or on a football team where you have, of course, who wouldn't want to be in Tom Brady's shoes in a lot of ways. But if I was a football team that had a veteran quarterback, a veteran coaching staff, I think, if anything, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if we do have a season, they're going to have a much bigger advantage playing this year because of the veteran quarterback, because of, even though he's new to that football team, I do think having that veteran quarterback presence is a huge advantage this year compared to any other year.
Yeah, and you know, we saw this with Peyton Manning when he left the Indianapolis Colts. He sat out a year, and then when he went to the Denver Broncos, I mean, it changed the offense. It's just the veteran nature and his understanding of football, the X's and O's. My coach used to always say he's above the X's and O's. You know, Tom Brady is going to be above the X's and O's even without the on-field stuff. But speaking of Tom and his former team, I had a take yesterday, and it came to me because of what Pat Mahomes' new deal looks like. It's long, and it's $500 million if he stays there, but it actually is kind of team-friendly and not punitive against the cap. And then you hear Sammy Watkins saying, you know, I've made enough money. He's made $52 million in his career already. He's like, I don't want to go get a big deal. I want to stay and play and try to win another championship. It's almost like the Chiefs are taking on a little bit of this New England Patriots, the Patriot way type model, where guys want to win championships as opposed to getting paid. You see that?
Well, yeah, you know, if you've made a lot of money already and you feel like you're set and you feel like, you know, money is not the end goal of everything, which that's personally, that's my belief. You know, I you always like to have more, but, you know, once you feel comfortable in the spot and in Kansas City, once you know you probably have the best quarterback of this generation and you could win multiple Super Bowls, why would you want to go anywhere else? For, you know, if someone's offering you $8 million a year and Kansas City's offering you six, let's just say, but you know you're going to win another Super Bowl too. I mean, those rings have serious value. And I'm not talking about financial value. I'm just talking about personal value and what they mean to you. And when you're on the right team, you're on the right team. And you know, I bounced around a lot in my career. My best experience probably was when I was playing for Gary Kubiak and Kyle Shanahan in Houston. And, you know, I have some regrets about leaving that team to try to go somewhere else and try to start and make more money, because it was such a great situation from a quarterback standpoint. I loved my teammates and loved playing in Houston. So, you know, I think that people down there, and by the way, I texted Matt Moore today, the quarterback, he just signed back in Kansas City. I'm like, good for
still
you. Go get yourself go get another ring.
Yeah,
you
smart.
Know, end of your career. So I think people are in Kansas City, and also just with Andy Reid, are so comfortable being down there. And, you know, how fun is it to play with Pat Mahomes? I mean, you know, anytime he's on TV, he's pretty much must watch TV at this point. And I think Sammy Watkins, you know, would be happy to turn down a couple of million bucks because he's made, as you said, that $52 million, and he's probably pretty happy financially already.
Sage, only about a minute here, a little tight. We're talking to Sage Rosenfels, 10 years in the show in the NFL. He's doing stuff for The Athletic, focuses on the Vikings. He's part of the 670, the Score coverage in Chicago. And obviously, these quarterback assessments are great. But I wanted to ask you, you know, real quick, if you can, the absence this year of the Iowa State-Iowa game with the Big Ten's announcement, like bring us inside the state of Iowa. What will that hole leave? What will that mean? The game will not be played. How much will that hurt? Not economically, emotionally.
Yeah, you know, it is. I think it's probably the one day of the year where it's sort of like, you know, we have the state fair in Iowa, and of course all the politicians and the presidential candidates love going to the Iowa State Fair. But
yeah, like they really care. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah, right. They love the Milky Way on a stick or whatever that they're selling there. You know, the Cy-Hawk game, you know, Iowa State Stadium, Jack Trice Stadium, which, by the way, is the only Division I, or what do they call it, the FBS stadium in college that is named after an African-American.
Is that right?
By the way, at Iowa State. Yep.
Wow.
It's a great – look up Jack Trice and do some research. It's an unbelievable story. I'm not going to go into it right now.
Yeah, we don't have time. We will.
A fantastic story. He died. He died after from injuries sustained on the field, and he wrote this amazing letter the night before the game, and ended up being the last game. And he basically died from these injuries when they trained from Minnesota back to Ames. It's about a 3-hour drive, but they trained it back then, and he ended up passing away. And now the stadium's named after him. But anyway, the stadium fits 61,500 people. The last time, I think, was the last year the game was played, they had over 120,000 people in the parking lot area.
Oh, man.
So this is not necessarily just about the game. This is like an all-day, all-weekend festival, sort of a celebration. And, you know, Iowa and it's a great rivalry.
Yep.
But it's one of those things where everyone really does get
I got you. Sage, we got to bounce, but I hate to cut you off like that. I'm very sorry, but we're up against the hardwood, man. That sounds like a hell of a time in the parking lot. Screw the game. I'm going to hang out in the tailgate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.